Welcome to episode 5 of the Monty's Men podcast. Today we got Chris, Leo, and Eddie here talking about the Sevilla match today with Osasuna. We also catch up on the Champions League match midweek with Krasnodar. So Sevilla won their match today, and joining us now, we've got Eddie to talk about it.
So Sevilla played a match today.
Yes, we did. Did we? did we?
There was 11 people on the pitch for Sevilla to start the match today. Two of those went off really early. One made it, 40 minutes or something, and then Navas got substituted at halftime. So Lopetegui had to make some changes really early. There's not much to talk about, to be honest, in that game. So I guess the most important thing that happened came in the 57th minute. And the guy we're talking about there for a long time was Ocampos. And he made it happen in the box. And some kind of said, hey, maybe he dived. But, I mean, it was a clear foul.
He definitely dived. He embellished.
Really?
He
might have embellished a little bit, but he definitely got fouled.
He's South American. Of course, he embellished. He embellished. I mean, hey, Vitolo did this for us back in the day. And you need these kind of things to win. It's the dark arts, of course. But he got the win. Without that, we don't win. So
exactly it was ugly. Right.
But we just needed a win. We were losing. We lost 3 in a row in the league. We just needed a win. It wasn't pretty at all. Probably our ugliest game under Lopetegui. But we won. And that's all we wanted.
You know, the foul went to VAR and it got upheld. So in my mind, it was a clear foul. So Ocampos lines up to take the penalty. Of course, Ocampos is going to take the penalty. He's kind of our natural there. He tried to do his kind of look away type thing that he's done in the past and ended up hitting it horribly. The keeper made a save, but then almost immediately was overruled because he was way offside.
Way offside. Come on, man.
More than Beto in the Europa League final there.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Yeah. So, anyway, he was definitely off the line. VAR called it back. Campos got another shot. And I think his frustration for the season was felt in that penalty shot. Yeah. He struck the ball probably harder than I've seen almost anybody strike it other than Messi today and his goal that he scored against his old boy Bravo in the Betis match. But, I mean, he nailed it and then celebrated with kind of a primal scream of both frustration and relief, I think. And then we move on. Nothing else happened. That was the match. So we take a little side trip here. Today on the Monty's Men forum, we were actually chatting about Ocampos. And a few of our members looked at the scream as kind of a little off-putting. And me and Eddie here had a side chat that we thought would be interesting to include into the podcast. So I hope you enjoy it.
He has a point, though. I hear your viewpoint on that. It's necessary because, like, big players have egos, man. Messi has an ego, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah, he shows it differently, right? Like Messi shows it differently. But I mean, watching Jordan play back in his day, like, he would yell. When he was having a slump, he was pissed off, and you didn't want to mess with him. I don't like Jordan, but that's because I'm an NC State guy, and he went to UNC, so it's kind of like the rivalry thing. But he was a great player. So, but I think all players have to have a chip.
Not even the top players. Yeah, like they're professional players. You have to, or else you won't fit in, man.
Yeah.
Like, you have to feel good about yourself and feel like you're the best. That's why you're there.
We're not baking cookies here. You know what I mean? Like, You can't be nice.
There's a lot of people that want. There's a lot of people that want your spot. Like, you have to think you're the best.
And he's fighting for national team position. He's fighting for future money. Like, it's not just this is it. Like,
You know how many players on that Argentina team like can't make it? Like, especially in the attacking positions, right? Yeah. So it's for him to be starting too. It's like that says something.
Yeah. It's awesome. And it's great for us because it raises the Sevilla profile even more, right?
Right.
Like, those people in Argentina are like, oh man, this guy's a Campos. He's awesome. Where does he play? Acuna, he's awesome. Where does he play? And it just leads into Sevilla, the Sevismo going into Argentina now. Like, yeah, we've had that probably in the past. We've always had some good Argentines with Banega, Hel Maradona played there for a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've always had a kind of a profile there. And maybe I'm totally wrong here about judging the impact, but it has to help some.
It does.
I don't have any interaction with any Argentinians. I don't know. But
no, it definitely does, though. Because now people are going to watch him. Yeah. Or watch him more. It's like, oh, there's Ocampos and Acuna plays on this team.
And don't you want a player like that? Like, don't you want somebody that's going to fight?
Absolutely.
Like, me personally, I want that. Like, yeah, you know, you don't want to, you know, a throwback, Medel, right? The pit bull.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, Medel was an asshole. Sorry to use that term, but
no.
he was an asshole.
You're being nice.
Probably
that's the pit bull, man.
But I want that guy. I want those type of guys on my team. Like,
Medel is one of my favorite signings because, like, that kind of player, exactly.
Right? Like, you knew he was going to give everything that he could while he was on the pitch. Maybe he's going to get a red card. He got a lot of those, but
yeah.
I mean, he's always going to fight. He's never going to give up on a play. He's the type of player I want on my team. And on my broadcast here today, I don't know if you guys, Thomas Rogon, is the announcer, the kind of, the football analyst that was on our feed here in the US today. You know, he was talking about Ocampos, and he was like, if I was a sporting director today, Lucas Ocampos would be my first signing. Yeah. Like that to me just showed what respect people have for that type of player, right? Like, you know, he's going to give his all. He's going to try. Maybe he's selfish at times, but you know he's going to bring it, and he's going to try, and hell, this season he's played a lot of minutes, and he hasn't had the best season. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that, but
he's playing through it.
He's playing through it. He's having to play out of position a little bit. He hasn't been able to be on the left this season as much with Suso's injury.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Navas was out for a whole half against Krasnodar. And then this week, you know, Navas is out again. So he's having to cover that whole damn right side. Like, what more do you want from the guy? Like, give me 10 Ocamposes and I'm a happy manager, in my opinion. But
I'll make this point later, but those are the kind of players you want when you're down to 10 men. Because they could play like two players, man.
And he did. You know, my favorite, and I almost thought about bringing this up last week, but one of my favorite moments as a Sevilla fan was Federico Fazio and the match against Atletico where him and Diego Costa was going at it, and Costa kind of like choked him, and Fazio like hit him in the stomach.
He punched him, right? Yeah.
He punched him right in the stomach. Like, I'm a fan for life for Fazio for that. Like that. They would have probably both got reds in today's world of VAR. But
wow.
But oh my God, that moment like made me a huge fan of Fazio, and I always He's one of the slowest defenders that I've ever watched. But
yeah, center of gravity is like in his neck, right?
But I want those guys that have that heart and that passion, and that's what Sevilla is all about. And you need those type of players. So Ocampos, I think, fits that mold. And I think you're starting to see that again with Rakitic. To Shindon's point about Rakitic, and you know, he kind of called him out last week, and here the last two matches he's played really well. Mm-hmm. I thought he played really well again today. So we need those type of players, and give me 10 of Campos. So I'm fine with that.
I'm just watching the clip of like Fazio and Diego Carlos.
Yeah,
that's Argentina versus Brazil right there too. So Fazio's not gonna. No, Fasen's not going to take any shit, man. Excuse my French.
That Ocampos, Medel, and Fazio interlude was brought to you by Bad Boys of America. If you're a bad boy and you need... I'm just kidding. Let's get back to the match talk.
That was the match. anything you want to add? do you think we should have gotten a penalty in that first half? Was that a handball?
I have that on my notes to ask you about that because I thought it was clear handball.
And normal speed, like in real time, it looked like, yeah, that hit his chest definitely. Like we were reaching there. But the replay show, that hit him in the arm. And the arm wasn't, as a defender, you must know now to put your hands behind your back.
Yeah, so, and it was extended. It wasn't like it was tucked in. Yeah. It was extended. I mean, it did hit kind of the upper part of the arm and maybe
– yeah.
Maybe that's what they saw, but I thought it was a clear penalty, and we've seen like worse given. So yeah, for them not to give that, I was really shocked. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I added on my notes to ask you about that because I thought it was a penalty.
I thought it was a penalty. Personally, for me, I don't like it's kind of a cop out when we win through penalties. So at that point, I was okay to let it go. It's like, okay, let's just earn the goal this time, but. I mean, the second half came and that happened. It's like, all right, I'll take it because, I don't know, the way it was looking, it's like, wow, we're getting the ball forward, but we're not really doing much with it. But I liked that Carlos Fernandez is getting the minutes. He got the start. Him and Nesteri kind of interchanging the center forward positions. Like one of the two were often going out wide, vice versa. I guess it was a shared role, really, because there wasn't really one player playing more in the middle than the other. I think Fernandez is better through the middle than Nesteri for now, because Nesteri is still, you know, adjusting, getting his mind right. I think Fernandez was better with the hold up play, and he doesn't lose the ball when it's passed into him either.
He has great footwork. I mean, I saw that a couple times today where he kind of he did the De Jong thing where he caught the ball and passed it off, and then there was a moment where it led to a shot. I think it might not have been a shot on goal, but definitely an opportunity where he got the ball out wide and he drove along the baseline and crossed it in.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a nice move by Carlos as well. So. There's a little bit of chatter on Twitter after the match about Fernandez and like how he fits into the Lopetegui system. And I mean, I kind of agree with what I know Cavani on Twitter was saying that he doesn't really fit into the system. And I kind of agree with that. But when you match him up with Yen up top and allow them to both kind of move freely, it kind of works. I mean, it didn't produce any goals today, but I mean, it wasn't terrible. But to that point, I mean, the whole point of the match is to score goals, and we're not doing that. I mean, other than the penalty spot, we didn't score today, and we really didn't have any shots on goal other than that. I think Acuna had a shot on goal early in the first half, but other than that, there was no chance of scoring from Sevilla.
No, there wasn't. I kind of seeing that we were just mostly getting chances on transition, and we weren't really, it took a while for us to like actually have good possession and deep into their half. I think it was around 30 minutes that we finally got to have the ball in and around their box and generating chances from there. It was a good spell around the 28th minute. And it led to a chance through the middle. I forgot who the shot fell to, but it was a forgettable chance, honestly, because there wasn't much that happened. That meant that chance you mentioned with Carlos Fernandez down the byline, good movement from Inicity in the middle to free himself. It just the shot didn't really connect the way he wanted, but I'd like that, especially from Inicity, because like you can see a good striker there. So I always think it's a mental issue with Inicity because he's very capable, as we will mention from the midweek game. He's very capable. It's just sometimes he's not there mentally. And you can see that with the other players where they won't pass him the ball, Ocampos. And I don't know, it doesn't always work out for him. But there wasn't much good things to talk about. I liked the midfield, but they didn't really generate much. Oliver Torres had a decent game. It's just, what do you want him to do with that attack? It's not really firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, Torres seemed to run like crazy today. Like he was all over the pitch. Jordan had a good game too. I saw some stats on Twitter about Jordan's game, and he was 77 of 84 passes completed. 11 and 13 long balls. He's constantly switching play from what I saw. So actually had 9 recoveries in that match too, which is kind of a Banega type stat. So maybe he's finally filling in for that role. I don't know. What do you think?
He's better defensively than Banega, so I would expect that from him. But yeah, he's a box-to-box player, and it was nice when Rakitic came on. There was some interchanging between the two. And that's what we were getting forward. And that led to the penalty. And it was good play between the two. But Jordan, I know some people don't always like it when he gets subbed off. But I think that's also a seniority thing. Because Rakitic, he is one of the three captains. So he will be prioritized ahead of Jordan sometimes in terms of getting substituted. But yeah, Jordan normally he always plays well. He doesn't really have that many bad games.
Yeah, pretty consistent player. So I don't have anything else to talk about that game. You talked about subs. You talked about captains getting subbed off. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the midweek Champions League match, because we did see a captain get subbed off in the first half of that game, and he wasn't very happy about it. We're talking about Escudero.
Oh, okay.
Escudero, who is also a captain of this team.
Yes.
Subbed off in the, I think it was the 33rd minute, somewhere around there, of the match for Acuna to come on. And he wasn't happy about it at all. He went up into the stands, kicked a gate, flew it open. I was surprised about that sub. I didn't think Escudero was doing too bad in that match. But Lopetegui was pissed off, and I think he needed to make a change. I caught it. I don't know if you guys were following along with me on Twitter, but I totally called that there was going to be first half substitutions, because you could tell just the way Sevilla was playing in that match in the first half that something had to change. Koundé had probably one of his worst matches as a Sevilla player. Some of that was maybe not his fault, but caught an early yellow card that led to the goal. To their first goal, and then got a penalty later that led to Krasnodar's second goal. So Koundé had not a very good half, and actually was subbed off at the same time there with Escudero. I thought it was needed. It just seemed like if Koundé was continued in the match, he was going to get a second yellow and a red. But then
halftime, right before halftime, we saw Jesus Navas get sent off for only his second time in his career as a senior league player. So, kind of an unbelievable stat that there to see Navas only his second red card ever. But anyway,
it's probably his eyes. Like the referee has a look at his eyes and is like, okay, I can't send off this guy, right?
I mean, I've seen his eyes up close and personal. He's got some damn fine eyes. Jeremy, if you're listening, I've never seen him naked though. But
that's gonna be mentioned every episode now, will it?
It has to. It has to.
Yes, those novels naked. Goodness gracious.
Anyway, so I mean, thoughts on the game? I kind of gave you the first half kind of highlights because they're Sevilla dominated possession in that first half, but got called out many times on a counter, and that's what led to these mistakes. And what do you think about the first half?
We actually started off well, I thought. It was a quick tempo that was sent, that was set mainly by the midfielders. Jordan and Rakitic really set the tempo, and the ball was cycling through every player, and we're generating some chances. A good shot that went off the bar by Ocampos. I'm actually glad that Lopetegui's not afraid to make first half substitutions, because like you mentioned, it was needed, and maybe it was a bit harsh for Escudero to be sent off, but not brought off, but we do get a lot more out of Acuña in terms of forward play. And you saw that immediately when he came on. We definitely get a lot more out of Acuña. He's more of a midfield player. He was a forward player anyway. Like, he was a winger. So his natural instincts is to go forward, while Escudero's instincts is to go backwards. He's a bit more safe in that regard. So I think Lopetegui wanted a lot of attack. He brought in Oscar for Koundé. And on the Koundé thing, if this was La Liga, he probably would have gotten a second yellow for giving that penalty away.
I was shocked that he didn't get that. I really was shocked that he didn't get a second yellow there.
Yeah. We got lucky. If that was any one of these Spanish referees, that was a second yellow for sure. There was a main threat from Navas's right side. We kept sending the ball out to there, and that's where the goal came from. To get us back into it, with Jordan crossing it to Rakitic at the near post, and it was a great header. That's the kind of goal your leaders score to get you back in the game. So that was very nice to see.
42nd minute that happened. Jordan with a great cross. In my mind, it was Navas. But then the replay, I was like, oh, that was Jordan way out wide. close to the byline. It was just gorgeous. And Rakitic, to his credit, had a lot to do there. It wasn't an easy header because it was kind of near post, hit to the back post, from what I remember, right?
Tight angle.
It was tight. Just brilliant, brilliantly placed. So, well worked goal to kind of give us back into it, because takes us to 2-1 into halftime there. The Navas red card kind of deflates us a little bit. Lopetegui, second half, he makes some additional changes in the 60th minute. He takes Munir off and puts on Yin and Fernando on for Jordan to kind of help change the game. Almost immediately for Enesri, makes a difference. Pressing the back line for Krasnodar, makes a terrible defensive error, and Enesri gets it and beats the keeper near post to tie the game. So immediate impact from their subs. What do you think about that goal there?
Even before the subs came on, we were giving it to Krasnodar. And I think it was – they did it to themselves, really. We were down to 10 men. They definitely could have came out more and attacked us, because if they did their homework, we've been vulnerable, really. especially in the league. Starting off that second half, there was no question who was ready to win that game. And Krasnodar was just happy to stay back, and we attacked them, and mainly with Ocampos down the right, who took over for Navas. Ocampos just owned the right flank. And also, I like the adjustment that Lopetegui made at the back. He switched Diego Carlos to right center back to kind of compensate for Ocampos's runs. And if there are any players you want when you're down to 10 men, is those two guys, Diego Carlos and Lucas Ocampos. They will give you not even 110%, 200%. They will compensate for that missing player, especially Ocampos, just owning that right flank and tracking back as well, because you know he does that already. I know he was definitely dead tired even throughout the middle of that half, but what a performance by him. And Nesyri coming on and being impactful, the press from De Jong helped that as well. And Nesyri to be clinical with his chances. I mean, this is what he's capable of. When it's needed and when he's locked in, there is a good footballer there.
Seems like when he doesn't have to think, like if it's just instinct, right, he performs really well. When he's on the ball and he has to think about what's my next move, it's a little off. But if he's got time to just do his thing, which we saw not only in the 69th minute, we saw 3 minutes later, where he didn't have to think at all. The ball fell to him. It was a Rakitic free kick, hit the post. I don't know if Diego Carlos got a touch on that or not, but
I don't know if anybody got a touch, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it just came off the post, fell right to Nesyri, and bam, I mean, he drilled it in the back of the net. Didn't have to think about it, to my earlier point. And there we are. We're up, 3-2, down 10 men, and not looking like we're down 10 men. It gets a little nervy a little bit late. Lopetegui makes some additional subs, and it gets a little nervy, but we held on, and
that's when Krasnodar decided to actually play. It's like, oh, they are down to 10 men, so let's at least try to do something. But I guess it was too late for them. We were ready to suffer and hold that result.
I don't know their team well enough to know, like, their manager made some substitutions. He made a substitution at halftime too. And I don't know if he made – I don't know if that was a defensive substitution or an attacking substitution. I don't know their team well enough to say what he was doing, but I'm just wondering if this game actually came down to a managerial move to win the game, right? Like, you see that sometimes, but you don't see it very often in soccer where a manager has an impact on the actual game. But I – think in this instance, Lopetegui outmanaged the Krasnodar manager and won that game.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't win that game if it was any of the other teams in the group, because we've seen Krasnodar commit some errors in the game against Chelsea. So they're an error-prone team, as you can see in the second goal that we got. So they did it to themselves, like I said. And if they had the mentality and the approach to actually attack us in the second half, we wouldn't have made that comeback. Maybe, who's to say we wouldn't, but they were glad to defend a 2-1 lead when they were up a man. So it's like, how can you respect that? It's like, okay, we'll take it to you guys. If you guys are going to give us a chance, we might as well take it.
Yeah.
We had many chances in that half, really. Continued domination, as many shots on target. Oscar from long range. There's the De Jong header that went straight to the keeper, unfortunately. Rakitic hit it off the bar as well in a scramble. But we had many chances, and we were definitely getting a result there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, clearly the better side. Even down a man, you wouldn't have known it unless you're a Sevilla fan. So, sitting really nicely in the group there. That gives us 7 points, I believe, out of 9 for the group. Tied with Chelsea on points. Chelsea demolished Rennes
in their match. So they have the better goal differential and would win the group right now. But, hey, I think we could totally come back. You know, if we do our business, that second matchup with Chelsea at the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan could decide the group. So who knows?
I think if we win the next game, we pretty much have. And if Chelsea does us a favor in their game, we both qualify with two matches left. So that's that was a very important win. Yeah, we win in Russia and it's basically in our hands. Depending on the other match. But yeah, it's looking good for us in the group, and it'll be nice. It's nice that way because our league form has been suffering. Thankfully, we got the win today, so we could focus more on the league because, man, we're below Betis, man. So that's never a good thing.
Never a good thing. Betis did lose today against Barcelona, which I had a good day. Betis lost. Sevilla won, and we had some really good results here in our election in the United States. So I'm a happy guy today. I'm celebrating. I've got a bottle of champagne in the refrigerator for later. So me personally, I'm had a really good day. Next up for Sevilla, we've got Celta Vigo after the international break. That's on November 21st. And then that trip to Russia is right after that. That's on November 24th. We get to take the trip to Russia. If that happens, there's a lot of things going on that's outside of football control right now that I don't know if these matches are going to be able to continue. I just saw recently, just in the last 2 hours, that Granada is trying to postpone their match tomorrow due to several players being out with COVID-19. So I think UEFA is going to have some really hard decisions to make coming up with the recent outbreaks with COVID. And we've got some scares. I mean, you know, the last time the international break came, we lost Koundé for, you know, two matches there with COVID. So it's a little bit nervy here coming up on the international break. We've got a lot of players heading back, playing for the countries and, you know, some trips to Argentina. Although Acuña is probably not going to make that trip, I would imagine after today. So Campos is going to go down there. Luke De Jong's going to play with the Dutch team. Navas, I just saw, was ruled out of the Spain duty, so his injury today gets him some rest. Yeah, exactly. They've got three matches coming up. That's a lot for these players. I mean, that's a lot of time on those legs. I'm worried about Ocampos too. I mean, Ocampos has played a lot of minutes for this team, and he's played a lot of minutes for Argentina. So hopefully, Argentina does a really good job of managing his minutes coming up in these next matches.
Yeah, I think the three matches were to kind of compensate for the missing international date. I know the players don't play in all three matches. In some crazy cases, it happens. They won't play the full 90 on the third match, but it's to the coach's discretion, right? He will use the players he has at his disposal.
And it's not like they're not playing for things. I mean, we're talking about World Cup qualifiers. Right. We're talking about in the Nations League. Like, there's real things on the line, so it's not just friendlies that we're talking about. What's crazy is some of these teams actually scheduled a friendly in between Nation League matches or whatever. I think, is it the Dutch that has Spain or something? They scheduled a friendly, but whatever. I feel bad for the players. I mean, they're really being put through a lot of stress during this whole time. And to schedule a friendly in this just seems unnecessary, but I mean, we could talk about this a whole episode, I believe. And I don't know about you, but I want to celebrate our league win finally, our first in what, four matches. So
finally, because we suffered to the very end. The typical thing when Lopetegui brought on Gudelli and Musial, once you see that, it's like, okay, this trying to set up shop here. Let's take it home. There will be one chance the other team gets that's going to scare you. And it happens every time. This was the 2019 version of Sevilla today. This was exactly how many of our games ended last season, and with a penalty to win it, right? And we just wanted to get the win and get out of there.
So somebody said it today on the boards. I don't remember exactly who it was, but somebody said it on the forum about easy wins. And it seems like Sevilla never has any, like, easy wins. They were referencing the Barcelona relatively easy win against Betis today. And, you know, to their point, I didn't write down who it was that actually said that. But, yeah, to that point, I mean, there's no easy wins for this team, it seems. And I think that has to do with tired legs, also the injuries. We haven't had Suso for several matches. A couple other guys here, you know, just haven't been able to play. So, but it's also on Lopetegui, too, for not making subs or changes. I mean, here we are, what, eight matches in or seven matches into the league plus Champions League. We haven't seen Vidal at all this year. The new center back, Rekic, got his first minutes for the Champions League match, but it was,
you know, circumstantial
minutes, right? Like, it was hardly any time. So, you know, yeah. When do these guys get brought into the fold? Like, are we going to have to wait to Copa del Rey before we see some of these new guys, or what? Like, what do you
think? Hopefully not, because seeing how these last seven matches happened, right, with the Champions League in midweek. We've seen how our performances have dropped every other game. So I guess it's a time for Lopetegui to reassess and hopefully to incorporate different players into his plan. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Oscar Moore. Hopefully we recover Suso and Idrissi after the break, because yeah, we haven't seen the young Moroccan at all. And Suso is an integral part of Lopetegui's plans because he most often gets to start. So hopefully, yeah, Lopetegui's got to look at this and try to play it differently when we do have the second half of those group matches, as well as our matches in La Liga. Just looking at the schedule here, there are still some winnable games. If we were looking at the games we had just gone through, mostly all of them were winnable. And we did it to ourselves. We shot ourselves in the foot and not getting the results. But matches against Celta, matches against Huesca, you should get the 3 points in those matches. We do have a match against Real Madrid, but Sevilla FC is a team that wants to challenge, right? And we definitely play well against the top side. So that's a match that we could circle and see how well we perform there. But other than that, there's no more international breaks after that. And it's a chance for us just to get to catch up in the league standings and get to where we need to be.
Yeah. I mean, we're not too many points out of Champions League position. It looks a lot better after today, depending on what happens tomorrow. Getting those points against Celta and Huesca is definitely important. I just noticed you brought up the schedule there. The Real Madrid match is sandwiched in between the Chelsea and Rennes group matches in Champions League. So it's going to be interesting how that works. It puts a lot of importance on the Chelsea match, I think. I mean, if we beat Chelsea, assuming that we win the Krasnodar match in Russia, which we didn't last time we were there, so that's a big if. If we beat Chelsea, we should have the group in hand there, I would think. So maybe we can rest some guys in the Rennes match. But that Real match, you know, sandwiched in between those two, man, that's gonna be interesting to see how Lopetegui kind of handles that. What, three matches in 6 days?
That's a lot of matches.
It will definitely be interesting, especially seeing how our matches were against them last season. The first game, we were kind of outmatched by Real Madrid. We didn't really play well, and they honestly just got a... It was a good goal by Benzema that got them the win, but they played really well defensively. And you know how our attack was at the time. So the second match was kind of a little bit more controversial, but that was a theme for Real Madrid's campaign last season. Every match against them, there is always something with the referee. I mean, not to always harp on referee decisions, but it's always a topic of discussion. So,
speaking of topics of discussion, Eddie and I were talking last week, and we decided to we really wanted to bring some focus into the other Sevilla teams. You know, it's not just the senior team that's out there competing every week. So we've got the Sevilla women's team, and we also have some of the, you know, the youth squad, the Atletico and other teams. So we wanted to kind of bring some focus into, you know, how they're performing. And, you know, in some cases, not recently, but some of these guys that play for Atletico are going to be the future stars of this team. And we thought it would be a interesting topic to talk about, and hopefully we can expand on it. We've got some members of Monchi's Men that actually follow this in greater detail than what Eddie and I do. But just talking about the results from this past week, the women's team actually won their first league game this week against Sporting Huelva. I hope I said that right. I always struggle with that. But and, you know, they won 4-0, so kind of a dominating performance there at home. The American Toni Payne scored her first goal of the season for Sevilla. And so right now they sit 12th on the table on 5 points. Sevilla Atletico, they got their first point of the season away against Murcia. That was last week. They actually play tomorrow, Sunday, at home against Linares Deportivo. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. My Spanish is terrible, so sorry, guys. I actually looked up where Linares was because I had no idea. I'd never heard of it. They are an Andalusia team. It seems like they're in the not too far from Sevilla, but nonetheless, they're actually at home, so that game will be televised on Sevilla FC website, so you guys can watch that. That's at 12:30 Eastern time tomorrow. Yeah, so hopefully we can expand on these topics a little bit more, because I think it's fascinating, especially the Atletico side, to see some of these young guys play. Yeah, anything to add on that, Eddie?
It's probably a little bit more promising this time around. I know we haven't done our... It hasn't really looked promising for Sevilla Atletico players to get integrated in the senior team. But seeing Carlos Fernandez getting minutes today is just a reminder that it could happen. It took some special circumstances for that to take place. But when you have players that featured in the friendly matches in preseason, Antonio Zarzana and Carlos Alvarez, those are promising players that hopefully one day get to wear the Sevilla shirt of the senior team and contribute, or even just play in the first division, like we're seeing with Pozzo and Brian Hill at the moment. But there are some gems in there, and there's definitely good things that come out of the Sevilla Academy. We see Diego Martinez, that's at Granada, who was a former Sevilla Atletico coach. So there's definitely a few bright spots there, and I'll make an honest effort to watch more Sevilla Atletico games, because there's definitely some talent there that we will definitely see in the future. You can't say definitely, because when it's when it's young players, sometimes it doesn't always pan out, but there are definitely some good players in that setup.
Yeah, it's definitely a benefit now that we've been able to, you know, with the internet and the improvement in streaming, and also from what Sevilla's invested in being able to broadcast some of these games online, we're able to actually watch these games. Prior, at least here in the U.S., we can never see any of these matches online. They were never streamed. There's no network that carries them. So for us to follow those teams is a lot of work. If you really want to follow Sevilla Atletico and want to do that from an English perspective, definitely follow Cavani on Twitter. He's probably the most knowledgeable. Our good friend Jim on the Machis Men forum also follows Sevilla Atletico pretty intently. So, you know, if you guys want to find out more about that team and how to kind of interact more and find out more, just reach out to me at Twitter at Chris Lale, and I'll point you into some spots where you guys can pick up some more information on these teams. But let's see what happens. The women play, I think, tomorrow as well. Actually, I didn't mark that, so I could be wrong there. Maybe not.
They do play tomorrow. I believe they play Deportivo, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they're away to Deportivo in the Sunday night game. Okay. So it's, I mean, I guess it's winnable. Deportivo have played 5 matches and lost all 5. So that is promising for us, for the Sevilla women, that they are improving. Improving as a team, and getting their first win last time out is definitely encouraging. So they could try to move up the table. It is a struggle in the women's division. It's heavily dominated by Atletico and Barcelona, but it's very competitive even below that. So any fixtures you're looking forward to once we do come back from the break? I mean, obviously there's the match against Real Madrid, but I mean, the way we've been playing lately in the league is kind of frightening. It's like, are we going to recover that form? Are we, I mean, I guess today was a bit encouraging that we kept a clean sheet and got the win. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're just tired, right? Maybe they're just tired and they finally got the break they deserve.
I think that's a lot of it. I really do. And I think the injuries has just compounded the tired factor. I don't know. I always like playing against Celta Vigo. They've got some really quality players. They're struggling a little bit in the league now, but you know, Iago Aspas is a special player, and I always like watching him. I'm looking forward to that match, mainly just because it's going to be interesting to see how we play out of the break. That's probably our most important match that week, even though we are playing Krasnodar, Russia. I think that match and solidifying our place in the league is going to be really important.
It's hard to say because we thought from the perspective from last time out after getting the draw against Barcelona, we played well, and then come back from international duty. It's like, okay, we're ready for the season, and no, we were not. So I guess that rests on Lopetegui and what adjustments he will make, or maybe just the approaches to the games. But there's a lot of ground to make up in the league table. Still early to look at the table, but we are down there in 11th. And yeah, it's still tight. It's still early doors. But we do need to win some games. 3 losses already. That's too much after playing 7 matches.
And I think to your point, it's how we lost and who do we lost to. I mean, winnable games. If we want to be contenders in this league, you have to win those. We're just not quite there yet. And hopefully after the break, everybody gets healthy. Lopetegui has a full squad to pick from. And we can get back on the ways that we're kind of been used to, at least with last year. So, yeah. And until then, I mean, hopefully, everybody stays healthy and happy over the international break. We come back, and we start climbing that table. I think that's, I'm sure that's Lopetegui's goal. And, it's kind of my goal. I doubt I watch any of the international games just because that's kind of how I do things. I don't watch too many of those.
I don't watch them either. Even if there's a marquee match in amongst the European teams, I tend not to watch it. If anything, I always used to watch the South American matches because those are really intense. And it's like a mini league also. On any match, really, there's always a good match every match day, and they go at it. It's amazing. It's just unfortunate that there's no fans because those matches really are incredible. That's probably like the only good thing about the international break is that South American 10 team competition to qualify for the World Cup. It's really a gem, and we might lose that in the future with the World Cup looking to expand. So this might be the last go-around we get of this. But I'll try to, hopefully it's available on our channels here, but I'll try to see some South American games this time around.
Yeah, it's a bit tough for this year. It seems like some of those matches are not being broadcast on the normal channels. So I'm at least struggling finding the South American matches on TV here in the U.S., which is amazing to me because we have such a big population. I think they're trying to capture kind of like the Premier League is on those subscription-based services. And it's kind of taken a little bit of the fun out of it. You know, one thing that I like about those matches, you kind of brought it up, but the topography, and here we are talking about topography on the Sevilla broadcast, but the topography of South America is so different that depending on where you're playing affects a team so much. Like if you're in the, like Bolivia, Peru, those places in some of these cities where they play, the elevation is so high that the toll it takes on the players is just escalated times two. So, you know, we got a Campos, and I don't know who Campos is playing coming up. I didn't look at the schedule, but yeah, he might be playing in one of these cities that is the elevation is just so high that it takes a lot more to breathe. It makes you that more tired. So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know. It's kind of a dumb topic, I guess, but that's one of those things to kind of think about when these guys come back. They're playing in all different type of conditions and all different kind of field pitches. Different elevations. The toll of the travel alone is tremendous on these players. So, and they're playing three matches over 2 weeks. So it's not like they're getting any time off. So, how this team handles that coming out of the break is going to be very important. Let's see what happens.
That's what I was worried about the last time out because the second match was away to Bolivia. And I think Ocampos only played 60 minutes, but even that 60 minutes is probably like playing 90. Because if you haven't adjusted to the altitude, you will struggle fitness-wise. But the Argentina, they got the win against Bolivia. Which is, it's always a good win when you win away from home because that's never easy in South America. It's normally only the home team that wins. Different circumstances now, of course, with no fans. But I think those were just the first two games for World Cup qualifying. So I think they're only just going to play the two games as opposed to the three games they play in Europe. Or am I wrong here? Yeah, they're just going to play two games, thankfully.
Thankfully, yeah. Good gracious. Yeah. Thank goodness. All right, so let's see what happens. You know, it's a shame that everything's kind of crushed here, but, you know, we'll get through it. I mean, as you you know, I think this team kind of falls to what we were saying earlier with how Ocampos plays. And then, you know, I think this team has or can get what Jesus Navas says. And what I mean by that is the guy got injured today. You could tell he was hurt, yet he still wanted to stay on the pitch. He did not want to come off the pitch. And I think that's going to breed into the rest of the team and continue the cohesion that they have and the fight for that badge that we've got. So let's hope for that coming out of the international break. Let's hope for everybody to stay healthy and get recovered and move forward, right?
Yes, and I definitely need to recover those 2 hours from today's game because that was just putrid. It put me to sleep. I probably still sound tired right now.
It was hard to watch, but it was fun. We had a great day here on the East Coast. It was 70-something degrees. I enjoyed a couple of cervezas after the game, celebrating other wins today. So let's continue that pattern of wins. That's what I want. So, guys, you know, we've been watching the numbers each week. We've got, you know, quite a few of you guys tuning in, listening to us ramble about Sevilla, and we really appreciate it. We hope to continue growing this thing. If there's anything you guys want us to talk about or find out about, any suggestions on how we can make this podcast better, please let us know. If you do like what we're doing, you know, subscribe on all the channels, however you get your podcast. Share them to your friends. Let's try to grow Sevilla as much as we can into this English-speaking audience. I think there's a huge opportunity for there. And definitely let us know if, you know, how we can improve going forward. So thanks for listening. Until next time, vamos mi Sevilla.
Vamos campeón.